Welcome to Tell Me More Live, the recorded version of the storytelling event of pretty much the same name at the Push Comedy Theater in Norfolk, Virginia. I'm Deb Markham, your podcast host and the producer of the show. Our live event hosts up to six storytellers sharing their personal stories with humor and maybe a little bit of exaggeration. As a warning now, I have to tell you, sometimes the stories get a little blue. If you allow that to turn you away, however, you're letting yourself miss out on some good stuff. This recording features Laura Watkins speaking at our debut show, which featured host Brendan Kennedy. The theme of the night was journeys. Laura is a well-known and well-loved humorist in the region. She knows how to walk the line between gold and excrement, and somehow she wins every time. Confused? Let her tell you the story.
I was really hoping you'd have a few more beers than you tonight before I went on. So I'm excited to see everybody out here, but I am most excited because my kid brother is in the audience, and he just turned 24, and he just got offered a job at the Norfolk Naval Shipyard as a nuclear engineer, which means, yes! Which means he'll be making more money than everyone in this room put together. But I'm really thrilled for him, and he just signed a lease to his first apartment with his girlfriend, and it's just a really exciting time for him. And it made me think of when I was 24 and how unstoppable I felt. And so I want to tell a story from when I was 24 and when the world reminded me that I am very much stoppable. I had my first full-time job. I was working at a little office over in Ghent. And I was out with some friends out at a very lovely Ghent establishment. And about halfway through the meal, I realized I wasn't feeling as good sitting there as I had when I came in. In fact, I was sweating like I was on trial at Nuremberg. And I had bubble guts. So, looking back now, I realize I probably had a mild case of food poisoning. But at 24, I didn't quite know what was going on, and I was really embarrassed. I wouldn't tell anybody what was happening. And I wouldn't go to the bathroom because, God forbid, I have a normal body function. So, I sat there and suffered through the meal. Now, at 30, I totally would have gone in there because, quite frankly, if I can't make it through an entree in your restaurant without dropping a brick in the bathroom, whatever I leave in there is on you. So, at 24, though, my delicate self couldn't dream of it. So, I suffered through the whole thing. And then we paid the bill, and by the time I got into the car, I probably had a good, like, seven-minute window before I had to find a toilet. Now, here was my dilemma. At the time, I lived in an apartment, and I shared it with three other girls. So there was, like, an 80% chance when I got home that our bathroom, the one bathroom that we all shared, would be occupied. And if that were to happen, when I managed to climb the two flights of stairs to our apartment, I guess the only thing left that I would do would for me to be just like pooping right there on the stairs and have it go down like blood from an Aztec sacrifice. I don't know. So the only thing I could think to do was to head to the office that I worked at in Ghent because nobody would be there. It was like 10 o'clock at night. I had a key, suckers. And I could just go there and do my business in peace. So I started to drive white-knuckling all the way over to the office. And I don't know if you've ever tried to like hold in any kind of poop while you're driving, but it's a heroic feat of acrobatics. So I'm kind of like at a 90-degree angle, trying so hard to not let anything out. And finally, I get over there, I get parked, and then getting out of the car is an entirely new ordeal. So I don't even know how I managed to do that. Everything is clenched. I'm waiting for my spine to like go through my stomach. And then I get out of the car, and I have two doors I have to unlock, the suite door and the office door. So I like limbo up to the suite door and try to open that. And then I get to the office door and open that. And then I have a hallway that I swear to you is from here to the back of this room. I don't even bother to turn the lights on because that wastes precious seconds. So I just head with my bat-like sonar to the back of the office, and it's a physical therapy office, so there's a lot of stuff that could get in the way. There's Swiss balls, there's hand weights, and if anything does, my mission is ruined, as are my pants. So I am so close. Even in total darkness, I can see the outline of the bathroom door, and it's 50 feet away, and then it's 25 feet, and then it's 15, and then it's 10 feet, and then I have my hand on the knob. I feel like a Navy SEAL at this point. I am so damn proud of myself. For how heroic I have been through this entire thing. And I go to open the door, and I don't make it. And I don't know if you've ever been in that situation, but once that on button's on, it's on. And there's really no turning it off. And it's still pitch black. I can't find the toilet. My bat-like sonar is not as developed as I had thought. So I'm trying to get my pants off. All I'm really doing is pooping down the side of the left leg of my trouser. And when I finally do find the toilet, I don't know how there's anything left in me, but there is. And I'm glad it's dark so I can't turn around and see my spleen that's come out. It was a really humbling moment. And it became a little more humbling because I heard the worst noise that you can hear when you're covered in your own poop. And that's the sound of the burglar alarm going off. Because in my haste to limbo down the hall to the toilet, I had forgotten to punch the code in. So in the darkness, I threw off my pants, which had gotten a little heavier, and ran pantsless to the front of the office and hurriedly set the code. Luckily, the alarm stopped going off, and I waited. I don't know if you are familiar with the alarm systems, but typically the alarm company will call to make sure that it's either an accident or you're not being murdered with like a pickaxe, but that call never came. So I just took the cordless phone back with me to the bathroom because I really needed to clean that up. So I went back there, and I switched on the light to see what I was working with. And I don't know if you've ever seen, like, crime scene photos from, like, the 1920s, where it's, like, really muted colors and kind of grainy. And you can't exactly tell what happened, but you could tell it was very, very gruesome. That is what we were working with. So, I got together all the Lysol that I could find, and Lysol the toilet, the sink, the floor, what I'd gotten on the ceiling. Threw out my underwear, which had died valiantly in the struggle. I washed what I could off of my good pants. I don't know if you ever tried to wash anything in a tiny sink. It doesn't work well. And then nothing had come yet on the phone, and I was done cleaning, and I wasn't about to stick around. So I locked up, and I went outside to my car. And I got in, and I thought, I'm 24 years old, and I just shit myself. But that was a matter to process another night, so I put on my seatbelt, and I put the car in reverse, and I looked in my rear view to back up, and I realized that the burglar alarm was a very small matter to deal with compared to the flashing lights of the cop car now in my rear view. I had a lot of choices going through my head now. I'm not a great liar, but at this point, the truth wasn't looking so glorious either. There's two cops in the car, and one of them gets out, and I figure, as a pretty innocuous-looking individual, my best bet is probably to try to defuse the situation. So I get out, and I greet him at a safe distance. Hi, I'm so sorry. I'm sure you're here for the burglar alarm. I set it off on accident when I was in the office. So far, not a lie. Officer's very nice.
Yeah, so thank you. I know. Yeah, we've had a lot of break-ins. Just wanted to check, make sure everything's okay.
He's also very chatty. And I'm amazed that he doesn't smell me yet. His partner is still sitting in the car, and he is looking at me through the window with some suspicion in his eyes. He knows there's more to this story. And he knows that I know that he knows there's more to this story. Cop number one is still droning on about the burglaries in the area. And he's asking me if I've seen any suspicious youths anytime soon. No, I haven't. Nope, still good. And suddenly, in the middle of our friendly chat, he stops, and he looks at me, and he backs away. And he looks like he's connecting some dots. And he looks at me and he says something that I will never forget. All right, thank you, ma'am. Have a good night. And he peels out of the parking lot. And I do the same. So I head home, take a much anticipated shower, get ready for bed, and as I'm laying down, I think, you know, as horrible as that night was, it's what adulthood is really all about. Getting into a situation, trying to fix it, and even when it doesn't work, cleaning up your own mess. And as I'm closing my eyes to go to bed, another truth hits me. I didn't take the trash out. My poop underwear is still festering in the office bathroom, and we have work tomorrow. I become a little unhinged at this point. I decide I'm going to go back in at 5 a.m., thinking that the cops are going to still be casing the joint for me. I dress in all black, like some kind of shit ninja. And like Martin Sheen at the end of Apocalypse Now, I have a machete in my teeth. I've got like blood under my eyes. The doors are playing inexplicably. I park away from the parking lot and do like back handsprings up to the door. I remember to punch in the code this time. I get my shit trash and I drive 10 blocks to another dumpster in case the forensics unit connects me with it. There are mob hits that go down with less planning. I tell you all of this to say, these are the things that you aren't prepared for in adulthood. But at the same time, there's a lot of things that people are going to try to make you ashamed of. And Taylor, that may be your job, maybe your successes, it may be your failures. But no matter where you are, I hope that you always, always own your shit.
Thank you for listening to Tell Me More Live, the recorded version of Tell Me More, a live storytelling event at the Push Comedy Theater in Norfolk, Virginia. If you would like to join Tell Me More or contribute in any way, visit tellmemorelive.org, that's tellmemorelive.org, and click on About. Don't forget to also keep an eye to the site for new podcasts to come. In the meantime, remember, a happy ending always depends on where the story ends.